If you like scary stories, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast. Sit back and relax. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and enjoy the ride.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My neighbors across the street.
My wife and I moved into a quiet, middle-class suburban neighborhood in early autumn. We had moved there from living the apartment life in the city, and although only modestly sized, our house was much larger than our apartment was. It was also nice to have a yard. I enjoyed mowing and raking leaves. I found it relaxing. I also got satisfaction out of keeping the exterior of our house in good order. Another plus was that I wasn't sharing a wall with any of my neighbors. The apartment we lived in had thick walls, but it didn't prevent me from hearing loud TVs, music, and the occasional screaming argument. Oddly enough, even though I had neighbors at the apartment and I could sometimes hear them through the walls, I never really saw them. Sure, I had passed by them in the lobby or hallways and exchanged polite hellos, but that was the extent of it. I never got to see them in action through my windows. In the suburbs, I could see my neighbors pulling up into their driveways, doing yard work, or just lounging around outside. There was something comforting about that. It made me feel as though I knew them more than I actually did. I had already met my neighbors on each side of our house. The closest neighbors to us that I hadn't met yet were the people who lived in the house directly across the street from us. Like the majority of the houses in the neighborhood, they owned a single-family, craftsman-style home. It had a small front lawn and a cement sidewalk that led from the driveway to the house. My wife is a nurse. She works all hours and is away often. I am a freelance writer and have the luxury of working from home. I normally work in the early morning, take a long afternoon break, and then finish things up in the evening. I enjoyed the freedom that comes with working from home. I'll confess that I am a people watcher. I love spending my relaxing hours staring out the living room window and seeing what is going on in the neighborhood. We hadn't even been settled in for more than a month when I realized that I had never seen the people across the street other than their young son. He couldn't have been more than 7 years old. He was a cute kid with a Dutch boy haircut. I began taking serious interest in the fact that I would see the boy come and go regularly, but I never saw his parents. They had two cars in the driveway, but I never saw anyone use them. It was possible the boy's parents worked third shifts. If they did, I probably never would see them. Or maybe they worked from home and were hermits. There were several logical explanations for the circumstances, but I was somewhat fascinated by it all and couldn't help but keep tabs on the situation. The boy left for school at 7:30 a.m. every morning. He'd return every afternoon at 3 o'clock p.m. on the dot. There was a rocking chair on the front porch. Every evening at 6 o'clock p.m., the boy would sit in the rocking chair while drinking a glassed beverage. He would rock back and forth and leisurely sip at his drink, until 6:30 p.m., at which time he would go back into the house. At night, it appeared that every light in the house was on. It stayed that way until 9 o'clock p.m. Every night at that time, I'd watch as the lights were methodically turned off, one room at a time, until the house was completely dark. It would stay as such until the following day. Regardless of the parents' work schedule and routine, I would expect to see them in some capacity on the weekends, but I never did. However, I often saw the boy. Saturday afternoons, he would rake the autumn leaves in the yard. He'd bag the leaves in large garbage bags and place them at the end of his driveway for the trash men to pick up. As the weeks went by, I became more intrigued with the entire situation. One Saturday afternoon, I used the boy's routine as an opportunity to speak to him. He was in the midst of bagging leaves as I walked up to the edge of his yard. "Hi there, I'm your neighbor from across the street." The boy didn't even look up at me when he answered. He kept his focus on his duties.
"It's nice to meet you, sir."
I was surprised at the boy's polite words, but he didn't acknowledge my presence further. He simply continued the leaf bagging. "I'd like to meet your parents one day." Again, he kept his gaze focused on the task at hand as he spoke.
"I'm sure they'd like to meet you as well. Now, if you'll excuse me..."
There was something off-putting about his nonchalance, but I just politely nodded and headed back home. Every day during the next week, while the boy was away at school, I knocked on the door of my neighbor's house across the street, but there was never an answer. Every evening, I'd watch the boy sit in the rocking chair, sway back and forth, sip his drink, and stare straight ahead, focused on nothing. It gave me the chills. It was the following Saturday afternoon when I knew the boy was home when I approached the front door of my neighbor's across the street. I knocked on the door, and within a minute the young boy answered. He stared up at me. There was something about his eyes that I found haunting. They were unusually dark, cold, and without any kind of spark.
"Hello, sir. May I help you?"
I smiled politely at the boy. "Are your parents at home?" He did not return a smile. He simply stared at me, deadpanned.
"Yes, they are. Would you like to come in?"
"Yes, thank you." The boy held the door open and I entered the home. I was immediately bowled over by the stench of decay. I couldn't control my short burst of coughing.
"My parents are deceased."
"What?" The boy didn't elaborate. He simply stared at me with that creepy, blank expression. I quickly began moving through the house, calling out for the boy's parents, but there was no response. It didn't take me long to find them. They were both sitting at the kitchen table, tall and proper. They had been there for some time. The table was set for dinner. The food on the table had clearly been there as long as the dead bodies were. It was moldy and smelled sour. The bodies of the boy's parents were in the process of decay. Because of that, it was difficult to assess exactly how old they were. At that stage of deterioration, their skin was dried, drawn, and gray, giving their faces a skeletal appearance. There were large knives in the back of both of the parents' necks. I could also see several other knife wounds throughout their bodies. The boy had stabbed them to death, but obviously they hadn't died in the precise position they were currently in. The boy must have spent some time posing them after they were dead. I called the police. They took the boy away. He now resides in a mental institution. The creepiest experience of the whole ordeal was waiting for the police to arrive. I stood all alone in the room with that boy. The entire time he stared at me with no hint of emotion. I don't think he ever blinked. Previously, I described his dark eyes as cold, but they were more than that. They were evil. Even though he was merely 7 years old and only a child, I couldn't help but feel like I was staring at a monster.
We hope you enjoyed the show. We're dying for you to come back for more. Visit maniacontheloose.com. Sign up for our newsletter, and I'll give you some free stuff. We'll see you soon. Very soon.